Lord, we thank you for that hope that we have in Christ, the hope of being with you in glory forever. And your word says that you will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and we will be in your presence. And we look forward to the day. And those of us who trust in Jesus, we long for those days, God. And we just give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. First of all, thank you for wonderful worship, Lisa and Brittany. Good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Church. Good to see everyone here in person. And if you're online, say hello. Comment on Facebook. And I'm not sure if I have comments on the YouTube. So maybe like or something, you know. Anyway, we have a very special service this morning. And we're just grateful for what the Lord's going to do today. We have Tom Combs, who is one of our own, and he's going to tell his account, and I'm going to interview him and see what the Lord has spoken to him. And if you're watching for the first time, welcome. If you are curious as to what happened, well, stay tuned. This is going to be a good time. And Tom, why don't you come up? I want to have you sit next to me. And Tom is a dear friend and brother, and here, actually go on that side. Here you go. All right, let's get you a microphone here.
Can we get I'm not going to be able to hold it.
Okay, let's get you this. Tell you what, let's borrow this one here. Okay, does anybody know how to move a microphone stand? Because I don't. Let's see here. It's a little tangled here. Let's do this. Take that one off. Stand.
Sorry.
It's okay. Just pop it off. Here. Yeah. All right.
Watch out for the turn here.
Okay, here we go.
On your left or on your right, Tom?
Either way, I'm fine.
All right.
Yeah, so. Right. Just so that way they can
except hear on that side.
Yes.
Yes. So it doesn't block. All right. Hey, you know.
Can you hear me?
Okay. No, it's not on yet.
It's not on.
Sorry.
All right. Test it out.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Okay. Thank you. No, that's perfect.
You?
No, that's going to be perfect.
Go ahead and pull. Okay. No. We'll be looking at him, so I'm just going to make it.
That's okay.
Yeah. It picks up no sound.
Yeah, maybe I turned.
He's got it.
Sorry.
All right. Well, here we are. I'm Pastor John Corr from Resurrection Church. This is Tom Combs. And I've known Tom for since what,
1999.
You guys.
Yeah, Stacy and I were in your
young adult group. That soon became young at heart adult group.
Yeah, exactly. So,
because we are no longer young anymore. So
want Stacy to stay up here.
You could sit wherever, and this is a chair. Wherever, pull up a chair, might as well.
Nope.
Grab yourself a seat. All right, so I've known Tom since, and Stacy, 99 was in your wedding. I remember those days. Long,
we got married in 2000.
Long time.
Yeah.
So he's been here since the beginning. He's been, you guys are part of us since day one. And first of all, before we get into the thick of things, I want to go back, okay?
Okay.
Because I want to ask you, how did you come to know the Lord? To start okay. There, because that's really where the story begins.
Absolutely. So my sophomore year in high school was 1989, or 1988. And yeah, I know. I'm like, I don't look as young as I should be. Anyways, I met a man who was going to church, and he and I developed a friendship. And I'd always debate him because I never really wanted to deal with my sin. And so during that year of 88 to 89, in March, it just really became apparent that the Lord was pulling on my heart and that I was really in need of something. And so one night we met, and I don't remember, it was a Saturday night in March in 89, and we talked, and he went through Genesis and in the beginning with God, the fall of man, and then he talked in Romans about how we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and that we've earned it, that we've earned our wages of sin. He also talked about John 14:6, where Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God through except through me. And then he also went through John 3:16 and 3:17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed on him would have everlasting life. But, you know, God sent his son into the world not to condemn us, but to save us. And at that point, I realized at 16 years old that my life was empty and pale and that I really needed Jesus. And so we got down on our knees and we prayed. And I remember walking home and I felt love and peace and joy and acceptance for the first time in a really long time.
So that says a lot, because what were some of the things you had before? Like, were the struggles and the things that you had?
Before I was born, my father had abandoned me and my mom. And so there was always that hurt of not having a father in my life. And there was also just we moved a lot. So there was a lot of unrest with we'd be in a place, then we'd move in a year or two. And so we were just constantly moving, and there was no there was my grandma's house, but there was no, like, that was really the place that I felt like I grew up and that I was at home at.
So you got saved, but you had some wounds from dad leaving.
Yeah.
You know, fears and other
things
like that.
Yeah, definitely. Just was afraid of the dark, was afraid of tomorrow, like not having enough money, not eating,
dying.
That was kind of my bigger fear. So those really were like my 5-6 fears. But those were really the major things that I was really struggling with at 16.
Okay, so you get saved. You're a sophomore. You still have some of these fears going on.
Oh yeah, they don't go away overnight.
Okay, so
you know,
because when you give your life to Jesus, there's a process of healing and sanctification. Sometimes he does set you free from things.
That's
instantly.
Why it's called a marathon and a walk.
That's
compared to the 100-yard
dash. Right.
That's
right. So let's fast forward, because something happened August of 2019. So let's fast forward now to August. We've missed a whole year of 2020. We're going back to 19.
Right.
Tell me what happened on August 25th, 2019.
On August 25th, I was laying down for a nap, and when I went to get up, I went to stand and I immediately fell down. The problem that I was having at the beginning of August was that I was having a hard time walking. And so sometimes I'd walk with a cane because I needed the balance. And so on the 25th, it was like from the waist down, I had no strength at all. And so on that day, Stacy woke me up and I was like, why am I on the floor? And she didn't understand why I didn't understand. And then from there, she called 911 because I was mentally out of it.
And you fell out. You fell out of the bed. Is that what happened? Okay.
Yeah. On the edge of the bed.
And you fell out.
And you slumped.
Okay.
Yeah, I fell out of the. Well,
he wasn't even.
But you weren't. You weren't with it. You were.
No,
of like,
I really wasn't. So the next thing I don't even remember talking to Stacy. I remember the paramedics came. And they were like, hey, Mr. Combs, we need you to come to the hospital, or we got to take you. And I was like, first of all, my name's Tom. And then they...
Sounds so formal, Mr.
Combs. Yeah, I know. I just, it's not who I am. But anyways, it's my last name, but, you know, people call me Tom. And from there, I asked them, I said, what if I don't want to go? They're like, we're just going to wait till you pass out. And at that point, I realized there was something seriously going wrong. And so I'm like, all right, let's just go. So when I go, I go in and under mental altered status.
Okay. So you they take you anyway, whether
it
or not, they're taking you.
At that point, I'm agreeable because we're going one way or the other. You know, we're either going, you know, the easy way or the hard way.
You get to the hospital. What's the condition they find out? What do you have? You know, what condition are you in?
Sepsis. You want to take?
Whatever. You guys can tag team, but.
But yeah, she remembers more than I do because I was pretty much.
You had a lot going on.
Status, but.
Basically, diabetic coma.
Diabetic coma.
Septic.
Septic.
Staph infection in the hips.
Staph infection in both hips and the muscle.
Eventually, they got him on dialysis.
So your kidneys were failing.
Yeah, feeding tube. But yeah, still, you know, that was
okay. So you're in.
I was hurting.
You're in bad. World of hurt.
And honestly, I shouldn't be here.
Right. they had a feeding tube in you eventually.
Eventually, yes.
That came the 16th of September.
Okay, so you're in bad shape.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's go to the 16th of September. What happens the 16th of September?
On the 16th,
they put your feeding tube in.
I had dialysis, and they took a liter and a half off of, like, fluid.
Okay.
And then on the 17th, between the feeding tube, the too much liquid, and then the potassium, I ended up coding, which means I died.
Okay, so let's slow down. So
no problem.
So your heart stopped the first time.
On September 17th.
On September 17th, your heart stops.
Right.
How long is it stopped for?
3 to 5 minutes. Okay. It was right around noon.
Okay. So, and they think it's perhaps because of everything going on.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe too much fluid from your thing. So who's at the hospital when you're there?
My mom.
Okay. Your mom, Stacy.
You're at work.
Stacy was at work, but then they called her to come.
Okay. So then you told something to your mom.
Okay. So I'm in the bed. And I felt like the bed was shaking, like they were shaking me, because sometimes they would move me, and I didn't like it. And so I was shaking because I thought they were shaking the bed. And they weren't shaking the bed. It was actually me. And so I called the nurse, and I said, I'm really in trouble. Can I get some help?
So then you had the heart attack? Is that what happened next? Why you're having a heart attack?
Yeah, that was happening. Then the second time, my speech started to slur and my eyes were rolling back in my head. And I was trying to communicate and I couldn't. And then this all happened in about a 10-minute period of time.
Calling the nurse 3 times.
Yeah.
Okay, and then everything's happening. You're starting to code. Something's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Mom's then, there.
Then the third time, I looked to my mom and I said, I feel like I'm going to die.
Right.
And then I kind of slumped to the left.
Yeah.
She was sitting there. And so she went out into the hallway and said, he's turning blue. And then the crash team came in and they saved me within 3 to 5 minutes.
Okay. So they get you stabilized.
Yeah. They stabilized me. They've called Stacy. She's on her way. And we come out of the room, and I see Stacy and my mom, and I'm like, I'll be fine. And then we try to get into the elevator, but I don't want to go without them. And so they had to explain that with the bed and the crash team, my mom and Stacy couldn't come. So we waited. We went down to ICU, and then we waited outside, and then I got to say, I'll see you in a while. I didn't really feel like it was goodbyes. And then from there, we went inside. And that was at John C. Well, it's Honor Deer Valley now, but it's I-17 and the 101 right next to the Deer Valley Town Center. That was the it's the hospital.
So you flatlined first time?
3 to 5 minutes.
3 to 5 minutes, about 12 noon-ish.
Yeah.
Okay. Then what happens next?
Okay, so I go in the room, and they're standing there, and they're trying
So you're
in ICU.
So you go to ISU. So you're on one floor. They take you down
yep.
to a different floor.
Yep, because I was The one floor was progressive cardiac care.
Okay. So you go down to ICU then.
And I'm talking, well, they're trying to get my, they're getting my vitals, they're asking me questions, and I'm not really listening or paying too much attention.
So you're in a different room now.
Yeah, we're in ICU.
You're in ICU.
ICU 228.
Okay, so you're, they're asking you questions. They're asking you questions. Yeah, Stacey, why don't you use the microphone? Yeah, Stacey, use this microphone so it can be, yeah, so you, when you talk. You do have a good voice, but it has, it's not picked up on the microphone too well, so.
Okay.
All right, so they take you to ICU, okay?
Yeah.
You go into the room.
Right.
And.
Just moving it over.
Okay.
You're having to look more now.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
We didn't set this up beforehand.
That's okay. So. Hey, we're low budget, okay?
That's right.
This is real. It's not
stage. Hey, we're not, we don't stage anything, you know.
We're stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, we don't put on a show. No, no smoke machines
no, this
here,
is
you know.
All reality right
this here. Is reality. So now we're in this other room.
Yep.
And the nurses are there.
Yes, they are.
What happens?
Okay, so as I'm laying in the bed, they're talking to me, but I don't really hear them. And when I feel this ominous presence, and I look.
Wait, hold on. You feel something.
Like, yeah, I really feel like there's something evil. There's really something that's not good getting ready to happen.
Okay. So you're in the room. The nurses are there.
Yeah.
They're doing their thing. And are they talking to you or are they talking to each other?
Yeah, they're talking, but I can't understand what they're saying.
But you're aware of something else going on.
Yeah.
And it's something
Absolutely.
Not good.
No, it's not good.
Okay. Are you, what do you, are you praying? Are you thinking? I'm like,
well, I don't
really
realize what it is at first.
Okay.
But then when I look to the right, there's this creature that's in the wall, and he's as big, as tall as the door. And
he's a creature. Like, what is it? Is he?
He's like dark and black.
He's black.
And he kind of peeks out, and then he says something, and I was like, and I felt like it was directed at me.
Okay.
And so when I look to the nursing staff, they don't really say anything, and I'm like, okay. And so I can,
so they don't know it's there. You see something, but
right.
they don't know it's there.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't feel like he's a good guy.
No.
He doesn't look like a good guy. He's black? He's dark?
Yeah, he's ominous. And
he's tall.
Like the door, yeah.
Okay. Are you scared?
A little frightened because I don't really have any strength. So at that point, I'm like, Lord, protect me.
Okay.
Because I don't know what he can do, but I can't get up out of the bed to go somewhere else. So not that I felt like I was a sitting duck.
So he's in the wall. Does he come out?
Yeah, he does come out the second time, and he actually addresses me.
Okay, and what does it look like? Is he?
He's like a shadowy figure. I could see the outline of him, and he's very angry, and it's like when he talks, it's like motor oil or black tar just like dripping down. It's really ominous and evil.
Okay. Let me just say something here. The Bible talks about demons, right? That the devil and his demons they live in the kingdom of darkness, right?
Yes.
And the Scripture talks about how demons are called unclean spirits, right? And they're dark, and they're our enemies. They don't like us at all. In fact, they hate us because we are made in the image of God. And what's interesting in Scripture, there's an account because I was thinking about. Wait, why is a demon there when Tom's a believer, right? There is a scripture in the book of Jude where it talks about that. It says, Jude 9 says, but Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. For some reason, Satan came to try to maybe claim Moses' body. We're not certain. We know that scripture says that Satan is a thief, right? He's a liar and he's a thief. He can come to steal and take and to destroy, right? And so it's interesting that Tom is, you've already quoted once, you're not in a good place.
No.
And you have an enemy who's out to get you. You know, all of us have you know, it's like we have our own temptations and the enemy harasses us, right? Constantly. You know, perhaps it's the one that was assigned to you. We don't know, but it's interesting that he's there, and he's not there for good things. You know,
oh, no.
But something else happened.
So as I'm laying there, I get this peace that comes over me, and I look to the nurses and CNAs. I don't see the person just yet, but I can see them. And at this point, the demon actually comes out of the wall, and he's fully, like, standing there. And, I mean, he's 7-8 feet tall, and, I mean, he looks like he can do some serious damage. And I looked over, and he started talking, and then I heard somebody else talking, and I was kind of like, where's that coming from?
And you told me you felt something.
Yeah, and then
you.
At that point, like, he touched the bed or pushed the bed.
Who did?
The angel.
Okay, so it is an angel there.
Yeah, so when I look up, I don't see him, but I can feel a presence, and I feel calm, and I feel relaxed. And then the demon, he kind of retreats back. I'm sorry. And then he comes out, and he says something. And then at this point, I see the angel, and he says something to the demon. And the demon goes back into the
so
wall.
So tell me about this angel. So where's the angel at?
Okay,
and where's
so
the demon
I
at?
Look, and he's standing right at the
he's
edge
right,
of my bed.
He's right there.
Yeah, and he's actually standing up, and he's leaning over. And I would say he was about 10, 12 feet tall.
So he's taller than the room.
Yeah, he was taller than the room because he had to, like, duck down. And he was bigger than the demon. And I thought, okay, we're going to be fine. Because... You know, it's just me. I don't have any superpowers, so.
So let me just pause right here, because he's, first of all, the scripture talks about that the angel of the Lord, in Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues him. And if you look at scripture, if you study scripture about angels and demons, there's some indication that we have guardian angels. You know, there isn't elaborate verses on that. But a couple, Psalm 91 says that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And then Jesus talks about, he says in Matthew 18:10, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father. Okay? We also know that angels are sent to help to assist those who are going to be dying to take them to heaven. We see this in Luke 16:22 where it says that a poor man named Lazarus will die, and he was carried away to Abraham, what's called Abraham's bosom, which is what they called paradise at the time. So perhaps this angel is here to then eventually bring you to heaven. Right. He's your protector. He's sent by God. He's a ministering spirit to come to minister to you. So the demon comes on. There's some fear there, but then there's a peace that comes because now you have a protector.
Yes.
And so what happens between the demon and the angel?
So they are going back and forth, and the demon would say something, and then the angel would say something, and I couldn't understand what they were saying.
Different language.
Yeah. And then, so this went on for a couple of minutes. And then finally, the demon actually, like, not only was out of the wall, but then he kind of stepped forward. And during this time, they were talking, and then the angel said something to me, and I remember looking up, and I just felt like I hadn't slept in a couple of days. I was really tired, and I was weak. And he looked down, and I don't know if he, like, waved to me, or if he, but he just, what he did is he said, sleep, child. And I was like, okay.
So let me just back up real quick. Because you told me before that the nurses in the room noticed.
Yeah, they didn't hear
anything, but they noticed what you were doing. You were looking.
Yeah, they noticed that I'm looking at the demon, and then I'm looking up, and then every now and then I would look to this, to where they were, to see what was, if they could see what I was seeing, and then I would look up, and then I would turn to the right, and that, well, this story is confirmed later when I'm back up in progressive cardiac care. So, because there's a lady, and we'll explain that.
So now the angel says, sleep, child.
Yeah.
Then what happens?
And then all of a sudden, I, like, got really tired, and as I looked, the demon seemed like he was going to do something. So all of a sudden, he pulls out this sword, And these
the angel does.
The angel does, okay. Yes, not the demon.
What kind of, what does it look like? Lightsaber?
Like a broadsword.
Like a broadsword?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty big. It was about probably 5-7 feet tall.
That's a long
or
sword.
Or long, I mean, it was definitely not one of those short swords. I mean,
so
it
he
was,
draws the sword.
Yeah, he draws it out, and then his wings immediately cover the bed. And then I remember, like, just feeling, like, calm and peace. And then I closed my eyes.
Let me just pause right there. There's a couple of scriptures that talk about angels with swords. Remember Genesis 3, when after Adam and Eve sinned, they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
And God stationed an angel there. And it says in Genesis 3:24, so he drove out the man, and at the east of the garden, and he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword. So this cherub, which is a form of angel, has this flaming sword to guard Eden from those who would come in. And then later on in the book of Numbers, when you have the account of Balaam, who is hired to curse Israel, and he's riding his donkey, and his donkey sees this angel with the sword drawn to try to prevent Balaam from doing that. So angels, of course, they're not little cherub, little infant-looking ones. They're nothing to be messed with, right?
No.
And thank God that he sent this angel to protect you and to bring you. So then you fall asleep, right?
Yeah.
Then what happens?
So when I wake up,
what's the first thing you see when you wake up? Because I'm gonna slow you down a little bit.
It is bright.
It's bright.
It is so bright that I actually thought I was on the sun.
Okay, so let me just pause right there.
Yeah.
Because Scripture says that God is light, right? This is the message we've heard from men announced to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all.
Exactly.
Okay. Later on in Isaiah, I'm going to give you, that's 1 John 1:5. Isaiah 60, verses 3 and 19, talks about how nations will come to your light, and kings will clear your bright rising, and no longer will the sun be needed, because the Lord will be their light, so to speak. Okay. The Lord is the ever. So you are in the presence of God. It's super, super bright. And he, of course, is called the Father of Light. So then what happens? Because it's bright.
I don't know how long it takes, but eventually my eyes do adjust to heaven. But I remember trying to turn away, and no matter which way I turned, whether it was to the right, forward, to the left, you know, left, right, whatever, you know, I still don't know those, you know. But anyways, so I'm trying to turn, I'm trying to close my eyes, and I can't get away from it. There's no shadows. There's nothing. And thinking about walking out in July and August at noon, and you think we get blinded here in Phoenix, it's like a million times worse. But it's comforting because I felt peace. I felt joy. I felt acceptance. I felt love. And it was like, it was better than it was in 1989. And it made me stay seated where I was at. So once my eyes adjust.
So now I'm going to pause you there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in heaven. You died. First of all, how old were you when you were?
46 when I died.
Okay. 46, 47.
No, I turned 47 in January afterwards.
So he's 46 years old. Nobody's expecting to die at the age 46. Okay. No one knows the hour of the day of your death. You don't know if you're going to live another second on this earth, right?
Oh, yeah.
Be ready, right? Yeah. You were ready, praise
God.
Yes,
I was.
Now, let's pause here. You're up in heaven.
Right.
What's going on back here on earth?
So,
because we don't know what you're experiencing, but something is going on back here on this earth.
So Stacy is texting, calling. I know she called you guys. My folks were called. My aunt works for Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs. She contact, you know, so that church was praying. My other aunts were praying. My one aunt works for Eddie James Ministry. That ministry was praying. People throughout Phoenix were praying.
Right.
And just anybody that we knew that my family could contact started praying.
You told me a couple stories about these, you know, about the prayer meetings that were going on. Tell me about something. You told me a couple of them.
I guess once that happened, the Calvary Chapel people from Golden Springs I don't know if they went into a room or a bunch of people got together and they were praying for me. There was people from Church of the Nations that were praying for me. So they were friends for my mom.
Somebody interrupted a service to have them pray for
you. Yeah, so here's this lady, and she's from Cameroon, Africa. She's sitting in the back. Her name's Leticia, wonderful gal. And she got the text, and she read it, and she really kind of debated and thought, should I go up, shouldn't I? And at that point, the Lord, stood her up. And she runs to the front. I mean, just like right now, somebody came in and was like, hey, we got to pray. And so she went in, or she went up to the pastor, showed him the text. He was looking at it, and he was like, what should we do? And she's like, we should pray for him. So he's like, we need to pray for, somebody named Tom Combs. And just, that I had just coded for the second time. And so they prayed for 30 minutes. And so people got down on their knees if they could, or they, got on the floor. And if not, they just sat in a chair. But they were just, a lot of people went right before the Lord.
So you have people praying for you.
Yeah.
Churches praying for you. Yeah. Lots of people all over the country, all over the world probably praying for you.
Let me tell you, prayer works.
Well, and that's the thing is there's some scriptures. We want to add scripture. That's what we talked about. Was you want to make sure there's plenty of scripture.
Absolutely.
Revelation talks about the prayers of the saints. Revelation 5 says, when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And another angel came and stood at the altars holding a golden censer. And much incense was given to him so that he might add to it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar. So it's like these prayers are like this bowl before God. And then this it says, and the smoke of the incense, which with the prayer of the saints, went up before God out of the angel's hand. So this prayer is something that reaches to the very nostrils of God, so to speak, right? And the very ears of God. And so Scripture talks about how we are to pray for one another, how the Holy Spirit prays for us, how Jesus prays for us. And prayer is something that is heard by God. And he does respond to prayer. Because it's interesting that they prayed for 30-some-odd minutes.
Yeah.
How long were you with?
I coded for 35 minutes.
35 minutes.
Yeah.
So encouragement to the importance of prayer. You told me about the story with this lady from Africa that...
Yes.
Tell me about that. I know it's the next day. We'll come back to what you see in heaven. I'm just curious about
so
that.
So the next day, it's the 18th. I've got zero strength. I've got some bruising here. And they're trying to ask me questions. I'm really not paying attention. They're trying to get me to sign stuff. I can't even hold a straw or a pencil or anything.
I mean, you would think they would give you some grace. So you just...
Right. Hey, man, I just coded, give me a little time. And so she comes in the room, and I immediately spot her. She comes in. She walks right in front of the bed, and she walks right here. And I just reach up my hand. I've got zero strength, so I know this isn't me. For whatever reason, I just reach out my hand. So she grabs my hand with hers, two hands, and she starts crying. She's praying. And my mom's sitting in the room, and she looks at me, and she looks at my mom, and she gets a surprised look on her face. And she says, he's been with Papa. And I'm kind of looking at her, and my mom goes, do you understand? And I'm like, yeah. And my mom goes, I don't know who that is. And she goes, well, in my language, Pop-Pop is God. So he's been with God. And my mom's like, yeah, he just died. And so she's sitting there standing next to me. And all of a sudden, this big reveal happens. And it's like a surprise party for her. And she tells me, she looks at me and my mom, and she goes, he has a message from the Lord for you and your family.
Wow.
I can't talk. I'm incubated, and I wasn't able to talk until the end of the month. So this is the 18th. I can't talk at least till the 28th to the 30th. So that was,
So now, and prayers are going on. Stacy, we're all praying. Let's go back up to heaven.
Okay.
Okay, eyes adjusted.
Yeah, so my eyes adjust, and this beautiful orange is just, it's calming, it's peaceful, it just like love like you've never experienced. Mm. And I look down and I see this amazing red table that is like glowing.
Hmm.
And it is beautiful. It's like the most beautiful table I'd ever seen. And I...
Are you standing at it or are you sitting?
I'm sitting at a bench.
Okay.
And so it's a like a picnic type style table. And so I look, and to the right, I can see the back of the angel, and then I can see this other great light, and they're talking, and it was like opera or symphony, because I couldn't understand it, but it was so beautiful. I mean, sometimes when I think about it, I cry, because it just, it's so powerful.
This is the angel speaking.
Yeah, with Jesus.
Is it like he's singing opera?
Yeah, they're like back and forth, and it is beautiful. And then when I look down, I can see the grass, and the grass is blue, it's green, and it's moving. And there's two other areas, but this area, because Christ was there, it was moving to the sound of them talking.
Hmm.
And so it was like when Christ said, if they be quiet, the rocks will cry out. The grass was like worshiping.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, it probably was, and I'm you know, but it was moving and it was swaying. It was like wheat fields and like the Christmas tree light chasers from the 70s. It just had this rhythmic sound all of its own, and it just.
So what about you saw something else?
Okay, so I look forward. And I see this blue, green, white crystal water. And it's coming towards me. And then it goes around. And it is beautiful.
So, and it's crystal looking. It's water looking. I want to read some scripture concerning that.
Yes.
Psalm 46:4 says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns." Then in Revelation 22:1, "Then he showed me a river, the river of life, clear as crystal,
yes,
coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb."
Yeah.
Coming from the... So you're sitting there, this
And I must have been in front of the throne.
You must have been in front of the throne.
Yeah, because I can see, I really can't make out exactly what it is, but it's this beautiful, magnificent object. And I don't know. I mean, I can't.
What else do you see?
Okay, so I look to the left, and at the left bank, there was another grassy field, and they were moving, but not like the grass that was here. So I see like what I think originally are boulders, and I'm looking at, and they're huge. And then I notice those aren't boulders. I mean, they're big like doors. I mean, they're huge. I mean, just massive. And I noticed that they're emerald, ruby or jasper, because it was like a beautiful, beautiful red. Then sapphire. I could see diamonds. I could see pearls. I could see yellow stones. And I could see orange stones.
By the way, if you read Revelation 21, the foundations of the New Jerusalem have these 12 stones.
Exactly.
That are all kind. There's some blue. There's some red. There's orange. There's all kinds. So you're seeing some of these significant stones. But what happens with these stones?
So as I'm looking at them, they start to get brighter. And it's like the Lord had told an angel, instead of going with the dimmer switch down, it was like reversed, because they just kept getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And then it burst forth into a rainbow. And it was the most beautiful, vibrant rainbow that I'd ever seen in my life.
Was it big?
And it, like, it goes from that over the throne to over the other field, and I lose it, but I notice that there's a group of people with a larger light in the middle, and there's all these people around it that are worshiping.
Let me pause you here. Let me read a scripture here. Revelation 4:3, and he who was sitting on, he was sitting was like jasper stone and a sardis in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne. So you're standing, you're before the throne of God, you're the clear, and there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 elders, and upon the thrones, 24 thrones, and upon the thrones were 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments. I'm not sure if you saw saw that part of the throne, but you were there.
Yeah.
Before, and you had Revelation 4:6, that before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the center around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front of them.
Yeah, and then those people, if you go to Revelation, I've got it in my notes where it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Revelation.
Yes, in 7.
One, the great white multitude.
So Revelation 7:9, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne before the Lamb, and they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. So they're over here, and they're doing what?
They're worshiping. And at that point I felt called to be with them, but I didn't know how to get there because as the river comes this way, it also goes around, and there's no boat. There's really nothing. It just.
Let me just pause. I know I keep pausing because I want to insert so much scripture because.
No, absolutely.
Because worship, first of all, worship is enjoyable, right?
Yeah.
You and I were made to worship God. It's not a boring thing. It's a wonderful thing. And Jesus says this in John chapter 4. He says to the woman at the well, he says, but an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is seeking worshipers of himself.
Absolutely.
And those who worship God will worship in spirit and truth. So these people are worshiping and you want to be there, right?
Yeah. I mean.
So then what happens?
Okay, so as I'm looking to those people from the great light, this man steps out and he's all in purple and he's got olive skin. He's got long blackish brown hair, the beard, and he starts walking towards me. And then as he's walking up, he says, can you hear me? And I look and I'm like, yes. And he sits down and I go, Lord, I'm ready to come home. Like Peter, you know, he's probably going, yeah. But so I'm just smiling, and I know it's him.
Is he smiling?
Oh, I
you could tell he's.
Well, he was sitting, when he sat, we didn't sit like this. He actually sat, and so when he would turn so I could see part of his face.
So I think it's interesting because he sat next to you.
Right, as
like
a friend. Yeah, absolutely.
And it talks about how Jesus is the friend of sinners, right?
Right.
The tax collectors and sinners felt welcome around him, right? He says, greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, right? He's what he calls his disciples. But he also says, my sheep hear my voice.
Yes.
You know, and so can you hear me? And he said, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
So he sits down next to you and you're smiling.
Right. Well, and then when you go back to Genesis with Moses, when he goes up to the mount, the Lord puts him in the cleft of the rock, hides him. So when the Lord comes by, you see the train of his robe because we can't in our bodies look at God and live.
Right.
So if he would have sat across from me, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
So, but no, he sat right here.
So he's sitting next to you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, Lord, I'm going to come home.
Yes, I'm ready to come home.
Let's go on.
And then, like, the mood changed because I could feel sadness and anguish. And he turned to me.
Was this after you said?
Yeah, after I said, Lord, I'm ready to come home.
Okay.
So we're sitting there and he looks at the throne and I tell him, Lord, I'm ready to come home. He turns and he says, Tom, it's not your time. But he didn't want to say that. It was like it was hard for him to say that, but he needed to say that. So
it broke his heart.
It did.
It's not your time.
Right.
Scripture does talk about there is a time.
Right. In Ecclesiastes,
a time to die. You're not going to go 1 millisecond before your time.
Precisely.
And if it's not your time, he'll send you back.
Right.
But then what did he say?
Okay, so he turns forward and I'm sitting there and I'm confused because I don't understand what he meant, because he would say something and then he would turn to the he would stop speaking, turn to the throne, and then let me think about it, digest it. So he turns back to me and then he says, Tom, you said my name for the second time. He says, I have work for you. And about this point, I almost fell out of the chair.
Wait.
I mean, A, he's called me by my name twice, and now he has work for me, which I don't understand, but I'm like, wow.
Did he say, how did he say it? I have work for you. I have work for you to do.
No, it was joyous. I mean, it was like, it wasn't like I'm sending you to hard labor, you know. It was like, no, I've got work for you. Like, it was pure joy and elation.
Yeah. I got work for you, Tom. Like
yeah,
that.
Seriously. And so he turned forward and we sat there, and then he turned to me and I turned to him and he said, I need you to help heal your family.
When he said that, did you know what he was talking about?
No.
Okay. So then what happened?
Okay.
Heal your family. Okay. What does that mean, Lord?
Yeah. So he turns back and we would look to the back, and from there he turned to me and he said, I need you to help heal your friendships. And then he turned back towards the throne and we would sit there and I would think about that, but then I kept thinking, I really wonder what this object is, because I can see that it's beautiful, but it was like it wasn't meant for me to see now. So I didn't. That's why I don't understand the throne.
Okay.
I mean, I know what it is and I know where I was. But it was, that was the one thing that wasn't as clear as the other stuff that I could see.
Okay. So he's telling me, I need you to heal your family.
I need you to help heal your friendships.
Help heal your friendships.
And then he turns forward and we're sitting there, and then he turns to me and then he says, I need you to be the patriarch of your family. And it really made me think about a lot of stuff.
Right.
But at the same time, you feel the love, you feel the peace, you feel the joy, you feel the acceptance, and it's just, it's wonderful.
So I'm thinking of a couple of things.
Yes.
Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah.
For they shall be called the sons of God.
Absolutely.
He's concerned about your relationships. The most important commandments are love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, strength, and love your neighbors yourself.
Absolutely.
Like, the Lord is concerned with our relationships, whether friends or family.
Definitely.
And he gave you that task because that was important to him.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then being the patriarch of your family.
Yep.
So how you're hearing this, are you?
I'm really excited.
Okay.
Because A, I'm in the presence of God, and so I really don't think too much about, like, when I get back, what am I going to do?
Right.
I'm just soaking in being there.
Right.
You know, and so to me, that was more what I was focused on, was right there being at the side of Jesus. I mean, it was like, I mean, even though I wasn't on the ground, it was like being at his feet while he taught.
So now it's time, it's getting near time to go. What's that like when he gets ready to send you back?
So he turns to me and I feel conflict. I feel anguish.
From him?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, you have to go. And it was like, he didn't want me to go. It was like losing his best friend. And I was like, you know, because I could feel that he wanted me to stay. And so he turned forward And at that point, you know, I'm just like, not that I could cry, but I was just like, I could feel the sorrow that I was going to have to leave him. So.
But he felt sorrow from him too.
Yeah.
I mean, that says something about the Lord so desires to be with us. That it breaks his heart that he has to send you back, even though he's going to have you back.
Right.
He still doesn't want. It breaks his heart.
Absolutely. So he turns to me one last time. And I mean, I think of like in the garden, like right before he went to the cross, there was that anguish.
Yes.
And there was that conflict. But it was like, Tom, you have to go back before it's too late.
There's the scripture, John 17, there's a scripture, it says, speaking of how the Lord so desires for us to be with him, he says in John 17:24, Father, I desire that they also, speaking of his believers and disciples, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. He prays for us, he prays for them. And here he has this conflict, even though he has a message for you, a mission for you.
Right.
And then what happens?
I wake up on the 18th.
Wake up. So you wake up.
And I can't talk for about 2 weeks, which probably was a good thing for
my family. You had tubes coming in, and we didn't know what was happening. We knew that you were still around, and we knew also that you were still in some very critical.
I wasn't out of the woods.
You're not out of the woods.
So on the 18th, that was the day when Stacy had to decide if I coded another time, if they could put a DNR or not, you know, do not resuscitate. Yeah. And so my wonderful aunt and my cousin are in the room. And so when they are talking to Stacy, go ahead and, because this is you.
Okay. So. I'm in the room with the doctor, and he's like, well, if he codes again, you know, we can crack or break more ribs, and it may not be positive that he could come out of it anyways, and if we extubate him and he can't breathe on his own and we have to intubate him, you know, eventually they could probably put a tracheotomy in. And I was just like, tears all around. Most horrible thing. And I know they got to be absolute dire. Here's the worst case. But my thought process was, I know where he's going, so I don't want him to suffer. So I put the DNR in. I put the DNI, which is do not intubate. I'm like, let him go. He will be way better off. It's not the best thing I want to have happen for me. But for his health, I know where he's going to be. As believers, we all know we're getting there eventually.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't want it any sooner. But
So, Tom.
Yeah.
So, let me just back up a little bit, because we have things going up in heaven.
Yep.
And things back on earth. We've had, you're with the Lord, God's visiting you, prayer things are going on. Meanwhile, you have doctors working on you.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, because that's significant. That all plays part of the story as well.
Okay, so at one point,
So they're working on you.
Yeah, they're working on me, and it's at the 20-minute mark, and they're, like, getting ready to call it. And, like, from nowhere, like, my heart would go, and then nothing. And then it'd be like, 30 seconds to a minute, my heart would get a 10% beat, and then I would flatline. And so finally, like, it got to like 20%, and the doctor was like, we can save him.
But something happened.
Yeah. They started cheering for me.
But you smiled.
Yeah, I smiled. And I think when I smiled, it was when the Lord sat down.
So you smiled in heaven, and somehow you smiled down here.
Yeah, on earth, involuntarily, I smiled. And they took that as a sign that they could save me.
Okay, so they're cheering, they're working on you.
Cheering me on at this point, because I had this dream later And I asked him about it. I said, you know, I had this dream where I was running this race and I could see the finish line and I couldn't make it. And as I was coming up, I stumbled and I fell forward. I said, and then all of a sudden these people came out of the stands and off the side and they helped me up. I said, and they walked me to the finish line. And the lady like turned white as a ghost. And I go, what? And she goes, that's what we were doing when you coded. That's what we were cheering you on after you smiled.
Come on, Tom. Come on, Tom. Come on, Tom.
Yes. So this is the lady that was in the room when I was looking up, because she's the one that came and said, I have to know, because when you were in there, we were asking you questions. You would look to the right and you would look up and then you would look to the left, but you weren't answering us. She's like, what happened?
Wow. So she was there.
Because she had to know, because on the 19th, they took me off the ventilator.
Yeah.
Okay. So they took me off the ventilator. So a ton of people go up to the hospital. So John's there. The music team. The LaMarthas are there. My folks are there.
We must have had 20 people in the room.
Yeah. I mean,
praying,
and
singing.
You know, and, you know, Tim whole, and Daphne, I mean, were there.
All of which is utterly illegal for the ICU. You're supposed to have.
We had
two people.
Yeah.
We had around 20.
We had 20.
In the hallway. And you can't be in the hallway either.
Right. Right. Yes.
But they also understood at that point that this could be my last goodbyes for my family and friends.
So let me switch to you wake up.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what has happened as a result of this? What's after, you know, God, Christ has sent you back.
So I've told, you know, so after that lady, she told everybody, which was good. And then I told my family, but I also got to tell all the staff from Progressive Cardiac Care to ICU, to the chaplains, to security. I mean, there were a lot of people that needed to come and get encouraged. So,
how about the thing with the family? What?
Okay, so I told my family. They weren't real receptive at first, but you know, like all families, there's hurts and there's, you know, issues that haven't been forgiven. But we started talking, we started praying. And the communication is wonderful now, you know, and I mean, we still fight. I mean, you know, got into a fight with my folks last week over some stuff, but you know, I mean, as long as we're still alive, you know, we're still going to fight, but we always are able to call each other, forgive each other, pray for each other. And so I talked to my folks, obviously, but then my aunts and my cousins. And so it's been a real big healing process through that.
So God's healing your family. Yeah. How about your friendships?
Well, there were a couple of guys that I knew from, one guy from junior high, Brian Hunt, and he and I started our friend. We got back in contact before all this happened, but he came to the hospital. He would sit in the ICU and hold my hand. My friend Jeff Walters from high school, he and I got back into contact, and, you know, just, you know, and then Brian, my friend who got married, moved to Colorado, Brian Davies, he, you know, just had three kids and, you know, career and moved. And friend Ray Stevens, who all these guys came to either Deer Valley or North Mountain. And so got back in touch, you know, because like we never had any like major beefs or falling out. But, you know, you get married, you know, have
life
kids.
Happens.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's the healing of relationships going on.
Yeah, so they're praying for me. I'm praying for them.
What about, what did God do to you personally?
So for me, the big healings that have happened, I don't hold that hurt in my heart from when my dad left. Mm-hmm. I always kind of held that back from God to heal that. But after that happened, I was able to deal with it and to move forward. After dying, it was like I went to sleep. So that fear was gone. The fear of tomorrow was gone. the fear of the dark. We had some babysitters that were kind of mean. I mean, you know, and in the '70s, you know, you'd be going to jail for what they did now, but you know, back then, you know, it's just grow up and deal with it.
You know. So God's healing.
Yeah,
healing,
but he's
personally
healing that.
And, and your relationships. And,
definitely.
I love how the Lord is so concerned that of the healing of our relationships, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he didn't talk about money. He didn't talk about anything other than, you know, and it goes back to the vertical and the horizontal relationships, you know, because you've got your family, you've got your friends, but then also the Lord wants to spend time with us through prayer, through reading, you know, through worshiping. And
so, so I asked you this before.
Yeah.
And I asked you this, I think in the hospital or in the, rehab places. And I've asked you since. What's the main lesson you learned when you were there?
The fact that God said my name three times goes back to Isaiah 43, where he says, I love you.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been to job interviews. I've met people and they're like, hey, who are you? I mean, he sat down, he said my name. I have a purpose, I have a direction, and I have things that I want to accomplish through you. So that was the biggest thing.
And he loves you.
Yeah.
He knows your name.
Yeah. And that, you know, he's going to do work using me.
Some people think that God's too busy with everything else in the universe, right?
No.
But he actually knew who you were.
Yeah.
Enough to know your name to give you purpose.
Yeah. Well, and it goes back to David saying that, you know, the Lord named the stars.
Yes.
So if he named the stars, why wouldn't he know who we are?
Yeah.
You know, because, and I always, you know, wrestled with that because it's like, man, God is so big and I'm like so small. But during that encounter, he showed me how personal he was.
Wow. There's a couple scripture that I want to read concerning that. When the Apostle Paul was called, he was given a purpose by the Lord. Jesus visits Saul of Tarsus and knocks him off his horse, basically. And Jesus says, but get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, and to point you a minister and witness not only of the things which you have seen, which, by the way, the Lord is using you for you to report what you have seen. This is just the beginning of that.
Absolutely.
But also things which will appear to you. And later on, the Apostle Paul talks about how he was appointed a preacher, an apostle. But back in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 1, I love this. God says to Jeremiah, whom he has called as a prophet, and Jeremiah is a young man. God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nation. Before you were born, I knew you.
Yeah.
Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. Every single person is known by God and has a purpose by God.
Well, and it goes back to Psalm 139. Yes. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You knit me in my mother's womb.
Amen.
So
what would you say to somebody who's watching, who maybe they don't know, you don't know when you're going to die?
No, I didn't.
How would that person become ready for death? What would you say to that person what should happen?
They definitely need to accept Christ.
Okay.
You know, because as Jesus said in John
3:16,
well, no, the 14.
John 14, yes.
Yeah, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes through the Father. And it is exclusive, but it's also for everybody.
Yeah.
So that's what we have to understand, is that God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his son. But you have to accept him. So what we have to do is we have to lay down our life choices, our life will, and accept him, because we have good plans and decent plans.
Right.
But our ways aren't God's ways, and his ways are higher.
Yes.
And he can do things that we can't.
Right. Kind of like the same way that you were led to the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely.
And before you experience the Lord and going to heaven, somebody shared with you key scriptures.
Yeah.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right?
Yep.
The wages of sin is death, right?
Yeah.
But the free gift.
Yeah, free gift for anybody. You know, you just have to receive.
So it's a matter of just trusting and believing in Jesus.
Yeah. And, you know, I've talked to other people, and some people have had similar experiences. They got saved, and they were, like, excited. I know Stacy was excited when she got saved. We talked about that. But then I've talked to other people that said they felt nothing.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, you know, feelings change. You know, right. Some days I feel great, and I feel like I can walk, and my body's like, not yet. And then other days I don't feel so good, but, you know, feelings change. But the love of God does not.
So let me add, though, whether you're watching online you, and those who are here, you may know Jesus or you may not know Jesus. One thing's for certain, all of us are going to die,
yeah.
Right? That death bats 1,000.
Yeah.
He's batting 1,000, okay? Yeah. All of us are going to. But the second thing is you and I don't know when we're going to die.
No man knows the time or the day of their death.
We may think we're going to live to be 110.
Right.
We may be 40s.
Yeah.
Or younger, okay? And Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven.
Absolutely.
John 14:6.
Yeah.
And the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
Tom was ready because he accepted Christ and he was the Lord's child. And when he died, he was before the throne of God.
Absolutely.
And you can have the same thing. If you're watching online, you don't have to experience death. You understand that, first of all, you are a sinner. All of us are born into sin. If you're a child of Adam, which we are, you're born to sin. And the wages of sin is death,
yeah.
Right?
Can I say one more thing?
You bet.
Brian Torkerson, I'm bad on the name, but he's got this song called Come, Now is the Time to Worship. You know, because,
yes.
I mean, I don't want to get into the world situation, but we need that constant rock. We need that hope because, you know, things are going to change in a week. Things could change in 6 months, 4 years, 10 years. But God's the one constant. So come, now is the time to decide.
Amen.
You know, because Amen. Today's the day of salvation. You know, we don't know. I mean, you know, the Lord could come back tonight. He could come back tomorrow. He could wait 100 years. We don't know. But we know that our life is that dash between 1973 to whenever I go. But be ready because he is coming back. And now, you know, if you feel the Lord, you know, pulling on your heart, you know, please accept the invitation because John's going to give the invitation and he's going to pray.
I want to address two things. One, for those who are believers, but yet you have some relationships you need to address. Maybe the Lord's speaking that to you as far as calling somebody up or making the steps to be at peace with people. But the second thing, of course, is eternity is a long time.
Yeah.
Are you willing to bet your eternal soul on something other than the rock of Christ?
Yeah.
If we're right, then you'll have eternity with Christ in heaven. Yeah. Glorious. And you were there for 35 minutes.
Right. I want to go back, but it's not my time.
Not your time.
I'm okay with that.
But if we're right about Christ, and Christ is the only way, and he says he is, no one comes to the Father but by through me, then salvation has been purchased by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. But if you reject God's offer of salvation, that's eternity for a long, 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 forever and ever, away from God's presence. And we don't want that for anyone.
No, because the Bible talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. And
yeah.
It's a pretty bad situation, and I won't share it now, but there was a guy that I actually did meet at a healthcare facility, and when he died, he actually did go to hell. He was there for 15 minutes or so, and it's a pretty bad place.
Yeah.
So if I get a chance, I'll share that another time. But
so I want to pray, if you guys will bow your heads and close your eyes, and if you're online, pray with me, because I want to invite those who the Lord may be speaking to receive his free gift. And the Lord has used Tom as a tool, as a testimony to God's faithfulness, the fact that God is alive, that Jesus is real, heaven's for real, that God knows your name. You're not just a number to him. He loves you personally, and he has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He made you. He crafted you in your mother's womb. You have significance and purpose because you are made in the image of God. But you and I were born into sin. We were born as children of Adam, separated from God because of sin. And sin has caused us to be dead. In other words, separated from God. The wages of sin is death. But God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for that sin and to purchase eternal life for you. He gave his life so that you can live, so that you wouldn't have to spend eternity away from him. He loves you dearly, loves you very much, that he stretched out his hands and was crucified, and he took the punishment for you. And so I'm going to pray and ask if you would like to receive the Lord to say these words, and from your heart, say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. I thank you, Lord, that you love me enough to give your life for me so that I would not have to die and be separated from God for eternity. Lord, I thank you for what you share today and that you love me dearly. I confess that I am a sinner and that I need salvation. And I ask you, Lord, to save me and to wash away all my sins. I pray, Lord, that you would give me a new heart and a new spirit, and that you would bring me to heaven when I die. And Lord, I pray for your forgiveness, and I pray that you would direct me in this new life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer, I want you to comment or email us.
Absolutely.
And get plugged in with the church that teaches the Bible and start praying and fellowshipping with fellow believers and learn about the Lord. And one day you'll hear his voice calling you home and you'll see him face to face and you'll enter to the joy and the glories of heaven and you'll have an enjoyable time worshiping
Absolutely.
With the rest of us. And so I want to first of all thank you, Tom, for coming
up. Thank you for praying for me. For, you know, I mean, you're my second family, you know, and that was the cool thing. Just, you know, being in the situation I was in, just having people come and visit and call or text or through Facebook. And I know everybody couldn't get there. So, you know, but I know people were praying,
yeah.
You know, and I know people were concerned. And thank you, because, you know, without prayer, I know I wouldn't be here.
Amen. Amen.
You know, so.
Well, it's a joy having you.
It's a blessing being here. It really is.
He's actually he's a one percenter.
That's right.
You're a one percenter.
Okay, so last thing. When I was, I think, in progressive cardiac care, the doctor came in and he
looked at the chart.
He said, you were gone how long? And then he wrote down a number. And I was like, and he gave it to me, and it said 1.5%. And I go, what's that? And he goes, that's the statistic of you should be here. And then he had 98.5% of dead written next to it.
Wow.
You should not be here.
Right.
But you're here. Praise God.
You know, but like John said, you know, it's God's timing.
That's right.
And, you know, like the Lord said, it's not my time. So if you have questions, please put them in the comments and we'll answer them.
That's right. That's right. Well, thanks for joining us. Pray you have a blessed, and pray that you are blessed. And
yes.
We give praise to the Lord because he's so good. He loves you. He knows you. He knows the purposes he has for you. And he wants to spend time with you both today here on earth, not just waiting until you get to heaven, but even now.
Exactly.
In fellowship with you. And so let's thank Tom for him sharing. It's guys, be blessed. We'll see you next Sunday. We'll go back to our studies.
Give him a blessing?
I will give the blessing. Yes, let's do the. As we do every Sunday, let's just stand up. We're going to do, here it is, it's up there already. The Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Lisa, Brittany. God bless you. See you next time. See you later.